Okay, Andrew, would you open us in prayer, please?
And Father, we thank you for the opportunity to gather and do these things and soak in the grace that you have provided, the goodness that you have provided, your mercies and your loving kindness, which are new every single day. And we know that without them, without you, we would literally just turn to dust. We're thankful for these things. We're thankful for the blood of Jesus, which we sprinkle from the top of our head to the bottom of our feet for forgiveness of sins. And we plead it over the rest of this gathering. And we ask you to bless us, sharpen our iron, increase love in our hearts for one another, and have your way. I pray a hedge around and about each and every one of us against all technologies, waves, weapons, signals, frequencies, broadcasts, anything not of the kingdom of the living God. And we just decree and declare that your will and your way, your provision and purposes of this gathering prevail. And we give it to you and your dunamis Holy Spirit, who comforts us and leads us to all truth. And in these things, we praise you and say amen.
Amen. Thank you, Andrew. Agree with every word of that prayer. Good morning, everybody. Really happy to be here this morning. I got home from Pentecost, the Pentecost gathering, late Wednesday. But I woke up this morning feeling refreshed and rested. Thursday, we had an amazing time in prayer. Those that were on the call that day could echo that, I'm sure. But our Thursday morning prayer call, it ended on a very high note, you know, with focus back to Jesus, what he's given, you know, to his people, along with our mandate. I'll talk about that in a second here, but yes, the storms are swirling. Yes, the wind, the hail beating down upon us. We could all share, and we did. Some of us, we shared some of the things on the call that morning, and we prayed for one another as we're commanded to do. And we say, Abba God, because he then led us to direct our focus toward and pointing us towards recently, you know, in order not to be sidelined, to keep us moving forward in the things of God. When we got off the call, several words the Lord's given within the last few years about the topic came flooding. I mean, flooding into my spirit. I'm going to share just a couple of excerpts from posts that depict what's going on right this minute. What's going on right this minute? Let me share, and then I want to mute and encourage everyone who feels led to do so to share as well regarding this topic. And I'm going to say it here in a minute. But the morning of May 15th, 2018, and I'll never forget this because we talked at length. A sister in Christ, she contacted me regarding a very vivid and detailed dream that she had had before awakening that morning. She knew it was an urgent warning for the bride. And it's interesting, I'm just going to insert this here, it's interesting that many of the things God's people have been writing about, speaking about, been led to share was in advance of right now. It was in advance, like, wow, Lord started talking way back when, right? But this was her dream. Okay, this is as if she's talking to me. She said, I walked into a large mansion, and as I entered, I saw a bride. She was breathtakingly beautiful and desirous of her bridegroom who hadn't yet arrived. The wedding was soon to take place, but the preparations were not complete. She was rushing around, you know, throughout the many rooms of the mansion, making those last minute decisions and making all those arrangements for the wedding. As I scanned the room, I saw a man sitting on a sofa. He was dark and mysteriously handsome. He was so amazingly attractive and alluring, I found it difficult to keep my eyes off of him. His focus was entirely upon the bride, watching her every move. The mystery man continued to watch the bride, and his eyes were full of lust for her. It was obvious he desired to have her for himself. His strong allure and good looks were somehow pulling at her, and she knew she was in danger. I remember this, my friend was telling me about the nervousness, and all of a sudden it's almost like she broke out in a sweat. The bride began to grow tired and seemed to lose her energy and vigor. She appeared wilted. At that time, I remember thinking it would be good if she went to her dressing room to be refreshed before the ceremony. And I noticed the handsome man had a smug expression on his face, as if he knew he would soon have her. Now, that's the end of the dream. That's the end of that dream. So now, in this post, after I shared the dream, it was a couple of days prior to my friend sending me this dream, prior to me writing all that down, that I'd been hearing the word showdown in my spirit. The word showdown is defined as a final test or confrontation intended to settle a dispute. It's synonymous with confrontation, clash, face-off. Okay. In poker, the requirement at the end of a round, you know, that the players who remain in must show their cards to determine which is the strongest hand, right? This is where we are. This is where we are, saints. We're in the final test or showdown in this court case. In this court case to settle a dispute. This is a dispute in court, isn't it? And I began to earnestly pray for revelation as to how all that was connected. You know, what did the bride being in danger with the word showdown and then Jesus coming in the flesh, because that was another word he had given to me at the time. There were three things he had me like, Lord, what do all these things, how they're connected? Then he began to show me. As I awakened the next morning, the Lord was speaking something he'd told me, which, I had written up about a year before. It was titled, You Must Take Dominion. But I rose up, I got out of bed, and as I began walking across the floor, the Holy Spirit shouted. It was very loud. He asked a question. The Holy Spirit shouted out, Will she take dominion? Will she take dominion? And by the Holy Spirit, I began speaking that out my mouth. I began going throughout the house. I was by myself in the house. I began shouting out this question over and over, probably upwards of like 60 times. Will she take dominion? And it got pretty loud. Will she take dominion? It was in different expressions. Think of this. The bride was growing tired. She was losing her energy and vigor while waiting for the bridegroom. Can anybody relate to that? The devil was trying to allure her to get her to look at him, as he's doing right now in different things that come against us, try to get our focus off our God, trying to get our eyes off our bridegroom, to look at the storms, right, that the devil's brewing all about us. But if we go back a minute to Genesis 1, verse 26 to 28, let me pull that up. I want to read it. Genesis 1, verse 26 to 28. And God said, Let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. So God created man in his own image, and the image of God created he him, male and female created he them, and God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish, the sea of the sea, the fowl, and over every living thing that moves upon the earth. Okay, so they were given that dominion over everything. And in other places in scripture, it shows over all his creation. In a minute, I'll read that. But it said this, over all the earth. We know they didn't obey that mandate. They didn't. Instead, they gave their dominion over to Satan the devil. And we know the story of how Jesus came and he shed his blood and he died in our stead. He redeemed us. And we know all power and authority in heaven and earth was given to Jesus. He said that in Matthew 28:18. Then Jesus gave it to his followers in Luke 10:19. 10:19 says, behold, this is Jesus talking to them. I give unto you power, and that also means authority, to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall in any way harm you. And there's a lot more. There's so many more scriptures that we could go to. And I encourage everyone to look up all the things that Jesus died to do for those of us who will receive it, right? We have to receive it. We have to begin to walk out those things practically. Another scripture just came to mind here. Psalm 8:6. I think this is very important here. Even the angels looking at man going, verse 4, when they ask, what is man that you're mindful of him? And the son of man that you care for and visit him? For you've made him a little lower than the angels and crowned him with glory and honor. You've made him to have dominion over the works of your hands. And you've put all things under his feet. Wow. All things under his feet. For those that will receive that, what Jesus died to give back. The moment the bride chooses to take that dominion, you know, to stand in all that Jesus came and died to give her, the devil will be kicked to the curb. The devil will be kicked to the curb as far as she's concerned, right? She will then be used as his instruments of righteousness to punish all disobedience when her obedience is fulfilled, it says. For a brief window of time, she's going to do the works of Jesus, and even greater works will she do. You know, and this is going to result in the greatest harvest for the kingdom of God in history. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord that he is using his people, his remnant for this. Those who refuse to believe what Jesus came, you know, in the flesh to do, who refuse to take dominion and walk in the power and authority of Jesus, they're going to join the spirit of the Antichrist. That's the only other game in town at the time. They'll give their dominion to Satan. And he, not Jesus, he, the devil, will become their head, right? The body of Satan will come against the body of the true heirs of God. The showdown is just ahead with a dispute soon to be settled once and for all. And the counterfeit bride is going to be exposed. We know that. Going to be removed, going to be dethroned. I just want to end on this before I mute my mic. The Lord is shouting out to us. Will she, will that bride, will his remnant, will she take dominion? Will you and I, as a follower of Jesus Christ, will we receive and walk, carry out and be obedient to that mandate that he gave us to take dominion, that he's given us authority to trample on the snakes and the scorpions and over all the works of the enemy. Father in heaven, we just thank you, Lord God Almighty, for everything that you have done, all of your works. We praise you in all things, no matter what it is. We praise you, Lord, for all that is taking place, that is doing nothing more than strengthening and preparing your people, preparing for the great harvest, even now taking place, and is going to mushroom in the days ahead, that great harvest. Thank you, Father, for every trial, every test that you provide in purifying, making white, removing all the spots, all the wrinkles, perfecting that which concerns each and every one of us as individuals and as your body. Thank you, Father. I ask that the Holy Spirit continue to minister the things that you are telling us, the mandate that you have given us from the very beginning. From the very beginning to the first Adam and Eve. And Jesus is called the second Adam. He came and he did it. His bride is the second Eve. Will she take dominion? Yes. By faith. I know she will. You've set it up so. You are raising up a body right now that will finally join her bridegroom and be seated with him in the heavenlies at your right hand. Praise you, Lord. She will take dominion in Jesus' name. Amen.